I don't know about you, but those are moments well invested, you know. Just pouring our hearts out before God and allow Him just to mold us and shape us. And you know what? That's the best place to be. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being open and just allow God to speak with you tonight. It's my privilege to be here once again, and I look forward to share with you the Word of God. And, you know, the hymns that were chosen tonight was just absolutely beautiful hymns, and it's so in line with my message tonight. So thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit on doing that. I want to speak tonight about a man called Grace. A man called Grace. And the scripture that we are going to deal with is John chapter 8, verse 1 to 12. John chapter 8, verse 1 to 12. If you don't mind, I'm going to read the Word of God, but I want you to focus on the cross this morning, sorry, this evening, and that's why I'm going to stand right next to the cross and read the scripture. Because grace affects each one of us, each one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what our status is in life or what our past looked like, grace affects each one of us. So as I read the scripture, just think about the beautiful cross. Chapter 8 of verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left and standing with a woman. Jesus straightened up and asked her, 'Woman, why, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No, sir,' she said. 'Then neither do I condemn you.' Jesus declared, 'Go now and leave your life of sin.'" Father God, we just thank you for allowing to experience your grace. We are nothing without your grace, Lord. We look to the cross and we say thank you for being the recipients of that grace which your Son, Jesus Christ, has dispensed upon each one of our lives. It is this grace that we embrace this evening, and I just pray, Father God, that you will sensitize us tonight to understand that no matter who we are, God's grace is able to reach us. And Father, that is a beautiful thing. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I always like to tell you some of my stories, and just before I go into the sermon this evening, I want to tell you another story. I told you that I'm from Cape Town, South Africa, and I came here about 6 years ago, and it has been an incredible journey. I've been sharing with your pastor, and we've just been vulnerable. We've been open to one another, and we have just shared our hearts with each other, and You know, 6 years has been great. It has been a great transition. I've met beautiful people. I've been at beautiful churches. I have the opportunity to speak at multiple universities and mission conferences. And that is what I did. I have received an opportunity to speak at the, I think it's Southern Nazarene University in Oklahoma. Is that correct?
Tennessee.
I'm right? Okay. All right. I was just told I'm right, okay? So, I'm right. Southern Nazarene University, Oklahoma. Now, I could not understand why God was sending me to Oklahoma. Out of all the places, Oklahoma. Why Oklahoma? And Lord, what is your plan with this? I did not understand it, but I didn't have to understand it because we sang about the Holy Spirit and how He will lead us into all truth. And so I just trust God's Holy Spirit that He's doing the right thing and I will be there for a reason. And so I traveled to Oklahoma and landed in Oklahoma and then drove with the rental car to Southern Nazarene University. And that's where I spoke. I started off by saying, in my speech, I told them, I'm a product of missionaries that came to a little town in South Africa, Cape Town, came to a little church and preached the word of God unreservedly, with boldness, understood the message of holiness and sanctification and what it means to be sold out for God. And that is what I said. I said, I'm standing here today because I'm a product of missionaries. And I mentioned a couple of names, and I said, I thank God for missionaries like the Gates family that came and just preached to us, just shared their hearts and their lives with us, spent and invested so much time leaving the comfort of this beautiful country and came into South Africa and Africa as a whole. And I also said, I thank God for the Zirka family that came to our church. I thank God for the Schmalzenbachs that came to our church and just been tremendous blessing in our lives. For the Calhouns that came and just spent some time and invested in our lives. And I completed my speech, and when I completed my speech, I went back to my seat, and a lady came running to me, and she says, "Will, can I speak with you after the conference?" And I said, "Sure, you can." And she was just crying. And I thought, what did I do? What did I say? And I said, "Yes, I would love to meet with you." And I met with her afterwards, and she says, "What church in Cape Town did you attend?" And I said, "The Matrusfontein Church of the Nazarene." And she started to mention all of my family members and my cousins and my nephews and my nieces because she spent time with these people. And so she was at that particular church. And she was married to one of the Schmalzenbach missionaries, one of the missionaries' sons. And they invested a lot of time. You know the stories of the Schmalzenbachs. They are just phenomenal people, right? And a good storytellers as well. And she came to me and she says, "You know what? I've spent all that time in Africa and in South Africa. And I've questioned God a lot whether it was worthwhile spending all this time in Africa and in South Africa particularly." Says, "While I was there, I went through a divorce and you know, that's brought a lot of questions to my mind. Lord, why did this happen and was the time invested in Africa, was that of waste?" And this is what she said, "When I saw you and when you spoke and you said that you were from that little church, God gave me the peace and the calm that it was worth it investing that time and that energy in Cape Town. When I saw you as a product of my dedication and commitment to the Lord, I can now go back to my church and say it was worth it." And this is what she did. The following Sunday, she went back to her church And she openly, before everybody, told the story about what happened at the conference. Remember, I told you that we all have a story to tell, and sometimes we just need to tell that story because somebody needs to hear that story. And that is what grace is all about. Grace affects each one of us. You know what? We have gone through some difficult times in our lives. You know, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need a lot of prayer. And, you know, our marriages are under attack. And you know, our ministries, our testimonies. And God help us. But thank you for the body of believers that are there to help us and to encourage us and to go further and preach the word of God. Here we find a lady that was caught in the act of adultery, and she deserved, according to the law of Moses, she deserved to be stoned. We know the story how the Pharisees came and they brought her before Christ and made this public spectacle of this lady and say and told him, "What are you going to do about this situation?" Obviously, they were there to trick him and to obviously test his knowledge and also his integrity. So what are you going to do about the situation? And I want you to just to understand the embarrassment that this lady is going through right now. She stands in front of Jesus and she stands in front of a crowd, and they make this public spectacle of her. And they bring them to Jesus. What are you going to do about it? And the Bible says that Jesus replied, "If you are without sin, any one of you, if you are without sin, you can cast the first stone." And then the Bible also says, twice Jesus stooped down and he started to write on the ground. Whatever he wrote, some people said, he revealed the sins of those who accused this lady of this terrible act. Some scholars believe that the reason why teachers would do that and just go down on their knees and starting to write in the sand is because they needed some time to think about it, think about the answer that they were going to give. But the Bible says while Jesus was doing this, those who accused the lady started to move away from him until only Jesus and this lady were alone. Aren't you glad that we serve a personal Savior? He's a very personal Savior. He's interested in the individual. And so this was a journey from disgrace. I want you to see this journey of this lady from disgrace to grace. And that is where God is taking each one of us. We were in situations in our lives where we found ourselves being accused and being confronted and being almost driven into this corner of being condemned. You deserve what you have done. Now, I don't know about you, but I am no angel. I had my fair share of problems in my life. But I thank God for grace. And here this lady, she came from being a public disgrace. All of a sudden, she experiencing the grace of God. And that grace is available for each one of us. So what is grace? How can we understand grace? It's so simple, but it's so difficult for us to understand. And as we study this portion of Scripture tonight, I just trust God that somehow we will understand that God loves us so much that he gave his son Jesus Christ to die in our stead. And that we don't have to become the public disgrace, but praise God, we could be the product of his grace. Amen? His grace and his grace alone. So what is grace? I love this quote, Michael Horton Rice. He says, "In grace, God gives nothing less than himself. Grace then is not a third thing or a substance mediating between God and sinners, but it is Jesus Christ in redeeming action. That is what grace is all about. It is Jesus Christ in redeeming action. And that is what we're going to see tonight, how Jesus Christ handled this situation. And Jesus is telling us this evening that I would love to handle your situation. Whatever it is, I would love to handle your situation. The very center and core of the whole Bible is the doctrine of the grace of God. The reason why we are here today is because of the grace of God. The reason why I'm preaching today is because of the grace of God. And therefore, grace is the basis for our Christian identity. Who we are in Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10, he says, by the grace of God I am what I am. It's nothing more, nothing less. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I think this should echo through our lives whenever we speak, whenever we boast, whenever we say something or whatever we achieve in life, we should be able to say, I am what I am by the grace of God. So grace is the basis of our identity, our Christian identity. We also see that grace is the basis for our standing before God. I believe that it was God ordained that this lady who was caught in the act of adultery came before a man called Grace. A lady that was filled with disgrace, she has to meet this man called Grace, Jesus Christ, who exercised grace upon her life. Our standing before God, Romans 5 verse 2 says, This grace in which we stand, this grace in which we worship, this grace in which we move, this grace in which we have our being. Grace is the basis for our standing before God. And so what happened when they brought this lady to God, to Jesus Christ? What happened? And there's a couple of points I would like to point out tonight. And, you know, feel free just to allow God's Holy Spirit to speak with you. And if you need to come and pray, just pray at the altar. I just love the freedom that we have tonight, just being in the presence of God. And we are not limited. We are not confined to do certain things at certain times. But if God speaks to you, please respond. I want you to note the focus on the penalty of sin versus the focus on the purity of the soul. The Pharisees and the scribe, they focused so much on the penalty of sin. But this man called Grace, Jesus Christ, focused on the purity of the soul. You see, he was more interested in the soul of that woman rather than the sins of that woman. Why is it when we make a mistake, we are being condemned and judged? And you know what? As if, you know, that we have committed this, the biggest sin in our lives. In spite of our actions, our deeds, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ focuses on the purity of our soul. He's interested in making our souls pure. In other words, he's preparing us for that great day. Praise God for the grace through Jesus Christ. And when man focuses on sin and the penalty of sin, Jesus Christ focuses on the purity of the soul. So what is grace? In other words, grace is God's unmerited favor. It is not karma. It's not deserving what, it's not getting what you deserve. It's not karma. It's nothing like that. On the contrary, grace is just the opposite. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He offers that to us tonight. Grace is getting what we don't deserve and not getting what we do deserve. And then Jesus focuses on this woman. And later on we will see how He changes this woman's life by His response. And when people respond to our errors and our mistakes, it's good to know that we have a man called Grace that says He looks beyond my fault and He sees my need. Jesus saw the need of that lady. And tonight He sees your need. He sees exactly what your need is. And maybe nobody else could help you up till this point in time. Guess what? The man called Grace is here to help you. Note also, a display of disgrace versus a display of grace. In verse 3 of chapter 8, it says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman.'" And then Jesus, He says in verse 7, "But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, 'If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her.'" While everyone desperately needs it, grace is not about us. Grace is fundamentally a word about God. His extravagant demonstration of care and of favor. I want you to look at the care and the favor that this woman received when she met this man, Grace. I believe today, no matter what problem you have, no matter what's going on in your life, God's extravagant favor is upon your life because His grace is sufficient for each one of us. And no matter what we have gone through in life, He invites us to be the recipients of this grace. And this evening, are you willing to receive that grace? And maybe you say, "Pastor, you don't know my past. It's been a disgrace." While you think that, the man called Grace offers you this free gift. And He says, "No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, I'm here to help you." Grace is the most important concept in the Bible, in Christianity, in the world. It is clearly expressed in the promises of God revealed in the Scripture. And it is embodied in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, guess what? He covered all our iniquities and all our sins. And He dispensed grace on our lives. And our past have been forgiven. I also want you to focus and note that the focus on worthlessness versus the focus on worthiness. The focus on worthlessness versus the focus on worthiness. To the scribes and the Pharisees, this lady was worthless because she has committed adultery. And maybe that is how she felt, because she was caught in that act of sin and she felt worthless. But all of a sudden, while the scribes and the Pharisees were focusing on worthlessness, the man called Grace focused on worthiness. Why is this so important? What was his response? He saw her and he called her woman. He saw her and he called the woman. In verse 10 it says, "Jesus straightened up and asked a woman, 'Where are they? Where are they who accused you? Has no one condemned you?'" He called a woman. And Jesus saw the worth of this woman by calling her woman. Now we call each other all kinds of names, right? And especially if we have made a mistake, a bad mistake, we are labeled. And that is how people remember us. In spite of all the chaos in this lady's life, in this woman's life, Jesus calls her woman. You know why? Because Jesus reminded her that she was created in his image. If we go back in the book of Genesis, the Bible teaches us that he created man and woman. He created man and woman in his image. And so all of a sudden, the focus shifts from worthlessness to worthiness. I want to remind you tonight that you are worthy, not because of what you have done. You are worthy because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And he calls you woman, he calls you man, he calls you my son, he calls you my daughter. And it is his desire to have this intimate relationship with you. I also want us to focus and concentrate on the commitment to the law versus the consecration of the lawless. Grace is most needed and best understood in the midst of sin, suffering, and brokenness. That is why we are going through what we are going through, so that God can dispense his grace upon our lives. And in our brokenness and in our despair, he says, there is still hope. In the midst of all the confusion and all the accusation, he says that there is still hope. And that is why while people focus on the commitment to the law, he focused on the consecration of the lawlessness. That is why everyone wants and needs grace. Judgment kills. In fact, this lady was destined to die. Only grace makes alive. And this morning, this evening, while your situation may seem dead and lifeless, no hope, you feel as if nothing can change your situation, may I introduce to you the man called Grace. Because he's all about consecration of the soul. And that is what he's interested in this evening. Note also the focus on charge versus the focus on change. While the scribes and the Pharisees were out to charge this lady with a death sentence, Jesus, the man called Grace, focused on the change of her heart. We are here this evening, and we all have a story to tell. The story of this lady wasn't a very good story. But Jesus wants to change that story. He wants to change your life. He wants to change your past. Grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues us. Grace is unconditional love towards a person who does not deserve it, and you and I did not deserve it, but God made it possible when he sacrificed his son Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ came and he changed our lives around, and that is why if ever we should boast in the grace that God has dispensed upon our lives through his son Jesus Christ. Note also the focus on fear versus the focus on favor. This lady was so terrified when she came before Jesus because she did not know what his response was going to be. In fact, her life was over at that point in time. But isn't it amazing to know that when Jesus Christ intersects, when his life intersects with our lives, things start to change. Those divine moments of intervention, that is what we need. And maybe that is what you need tonight. You don't have to be fearful. This lady feared for her life, but Jesus Christ, this man called Grace, offered her favor. And he says, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear because of your past. The only reason why we have to fear is when we have not met this man called grace. When she met him, her life changed for eternity. The Bible says, he says to her, go now and leave your life of sin. The focus on the law versus the focus on love. That is how much God loves us. That is how much Jesus loves us. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely. He says to her, that's all he said. Go and sin no more. I'm not here to condemn you. While people may condemn us because of our past, because of our actions, because what we have done, Jesus gives us this response and he says there's a better way out. Go now and leave your life of sin. What a form of grace. Aren't you glad this evening that Jesus is not here to judge us or condemn us, but he's here to help us in our situation? He's here for us to experience his unconditional love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful, how matchless, how unconditional such love. And then when Jesus uttered those words, suddenly a peace came upon her life. Grace is the peace of God given to the restless. We don't have to be restless. We don't have to struggle with sin. But we can experience the peace of God knowing that grace is God's unmerited favor. And he looks beyond our past and all the things that we have done and he says, I love you that much. And then lastly, the focus on the law versus the focus on love. While the scribes and the Pharisees focus on the law, Jesus focuses on love, unconditional love. And that love changed this woman's life. The love of Jesus will change your life. Why? Because it's not based on what you can do, but it's based on everything that he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And so this evening, I don't know what your journey is like. Maybe it's a journey from disgrace. And you say, where do I go from here, Pastor? Let me remind you. He saw her worthiness and called her woman. She experienced his willingness and called him Lord. Isn't that beautiful? We can call him Lord. Lord means ruler over everything. She came to him wounded and rejected. He sent her away whole and restored. And he says, go and sin no more. His grace overwhelmed her guilt. And you know what Satan plays with our minds and with our emotions and our feelings? And that's where he gets us. He makes us feel guilty. But tonight we saw that his grace overwhelmed and overshadowed her guilt. He can do the same for you today. She brought him darkness and disappointment, and he offered her light and love. That's the man called grace. And he wants to do exactly the same for you. And while we focus on the consequences, the man called grace focuses on our consecration. And he says, I'm interested in you. I believe in you. I trust you. And God offers us that grace this evening. And so no matter how dark our past may be, if we bring it to Christ, he fills our lives with his light. And so the question this evening is, what is your charge? What is your charge? No matter what it is, the man called Grace will forgive you and he will set you free. He set this woman free from her guilt and her shame. He's able to do that for us even right now. But we have to make that decision tonight and saying, Lord, I want to be the recipient of that grace. Where there is guilt, he offers his love. Where there is confusion, he wants to bring order. Where there is hopelessness, he offers us hope. And he's here today, tonight, to help you in your situation. Let's embrace that grace as we move forward, knowing that he will never let us down, but he has plans for us. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, and I will give you a future that will not hurt you, but it will help you. Then you will call on me, and I will answer you. That is who the man called Grace is, and he's here tonight to help you in your situation. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want us to focus on ourselves today in relation to the grace of Jesus. And maybe you feel vulnerable, and maybe you feel, Lord, I don't know if this is going to work for me. Who knows, maybe this woman felt the same way. But his grace covers, and his love covers a multitude of sin. And maybe God spoke to you in a certain area of your life where you need to just surrender to him, and he wants to consecrate you and he wants to help you through this journey of life. If you would like to come and spend some time at the altar, you know what? The altar is open and you can come and just pray to him and know that he is there for you. He's there to help you. He's there to give you a second chance. I'm going to call on Pastor right now, and he will lead us from here. But let's just focus on this man called Grace. Amen.